Well, whether you are building a car, a home, a chair, a computer, or even a cell phone, fasteners are very important. Fasteners of all kinds hold our world together. Your clothes are held together by stitches, zippers, and buttons. Your house, your furniture, and even the building is held together by nails, mortar, and screws. Your cars are a complex mix of parts joined together in various ways to include welds, rivets, solder, and glue. Whenever you join two things together, its function, its strength, its dependability is only as good as its fasteners or glue. And just think about our own bodies. We are held together by a lot of fasteners. We call them joints, held together by ligaments, tendons, muscles, tissue, and cartilage. And oftentimes our function, our strength, and our dependability is only as good as the stuff that holds us together. And the older I get, the more I know that's true. In our scripture reading, you just heard Paul ends that passage by saying this, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." We are all held together as the body of Christ. We are all, in a sense, glued together by our faith. Earlier, it said that there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. You see, this is what we all have in common. We were all sinners, we were all lost, but all of us who have found faith in God through Jesus Christ become the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, we share one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all. And because none of us have earned it, we have all received the same grace, and therefore we are all equals. In Galatians, Paul writes, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Do you really see the beauty in that statement? No matter where we have come from, no matter our personal history, no matter our DNA, no matter how rich or how poor, because of Jesus Christ, we are all equals. We are all equally blessed, and we are all equally redeemed. And when we think of this, this should help us see each other in a different light. Instead of judging someone or labeling someone based on who they were without Christ, we should value one another as redeemed children of God. And because of our love for one another, it is part of the glue that holds us together. Jesus said this, according to John, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And yes, like it or not, we have to love each other. Some of us a little harder to love than others. But Jesus said to do that. This should be a great distinction among believers. This is something that should set us apart. When people see us joined together by our love for one another, they will know that our faith is real. When we see each other out in public, have you ever seen that one person that you kind of hope you can disappear behind the aisle of the grocery store and kind of sneak around and not have to see them? You ever get that feeling? That's not the right kind of feeling, folks. We're supposed to be happy to see each other. We should love one another. Despite all of our quirks, despite all of our differences, we should be joyed to see one another. And you have heard me say this time and time again, and we're going to keep saying it until we get it. But this is what the church in Acts did. And they gathered together and they shared their love. And we know that the Lord added to their numbers daily. Meeting together for fellowship and worship is so important that the writer of Hebrews wrote this. He said, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Some people don't believe church is important. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. Look at this verse. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. We know a lot of people who have a lot of reasons for not coming on Sundays. And a lot of people that just don't come to worship, but they have a lot of excuses for not meeting in Sunday school, not meeting for Bible study, not having dinners together. Did you know there was a very early tradition in the Methodist Church called the Love Feast? The Love Feast was borrowed by John Wesley from the German Moravians. The feast was based on the in-home feast celebrated by the church in Acts, the first century church. It was a form of fellowship shared in the homes of people that felt more like a home communion service. It was intimate and faith-focused on Christ. That's something we need to do. We need to start gathering together in homes and loving each other and sharing our faith. And there are many people believe that these love feasts that were very popular in the early American Methodism were one of the key components to the revival of the church. And it led to the huge growth of the Methodist Church because the people were together and they were one and they shared and loved in their fellowship. Fellowship is a very important component to the glue that keeps us in unity. Because it's hard to love people you don't know. But when you get past all of our individual quirks, when you get close enough to know that someone's faith is genuine, that someone has genuine love, a genuine spirit, it only makes you love them more. I've known a lot of people. I first went to a previous appointment, and I was talking with some guys in the back of the church. And they were snickering and talking about Anne. Well, you got to watch Anne, especially during prayer time. You can't let her get loose because she'll make you pray for her cat, her computer, and everything. And all they had were things to say about her. But you know who Anne was? Anne was a person who believed that God said, "Take everything to me in prayer." And she took it to heart. Anne had one of those voices that was, you know, a little grating. You know, she had one of those weird nasally kind of voices when she talked. And on the outside, she was hard to get to know. But I'll tell you what, I'll take 10 Anns into battle any day. Because she loved people. Do you know who the first person was to outvisit someone sick? Anne. Do you know who the first person was to make a phone call if something was wrong? Anne. Do you know who the first person to volunteer for VBS Sunday School or anything else the church needed? Anne. And yet fellow church members stood in the back and mocked her. Is that the church? Is that the love of Christ? And I forgive me, I do not have my normal technology today. But when we get close to each other and we love each other, we get to know each other. And when you become family, You help each other. You nurture each other. You defend each other. Last week, we looked at personal holiness, our individual journeys. And we looked at these three ways for you to grow towards Christian perfection. Number one, I said you had to be committed to God. Number two, I said start small. Start with the little things, prayer in the morning, devotions, listening to music, doing things that bring you closer to God. And number three, growing towards personal holiness is to believe. And so today we're talking about taking things one step further. Instead of us being a whole bunch of individuals working on an individual path to a deeper faith, what if that individual journey became strengthened by making it a community journey? Just think about this. A group of believers working together towards the same goal. A group of believers that sounded like these statements from Thessalonians. Therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you were doing. Hebrews passage said, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Colossians, he writes, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love. So it's a hard struggle, isn't it? Is it hard to be a devout Christian every day? Raise your hand if you think it's a hard struggle. The rest of you are liars. Calling you out. It's hard. But you know what makes hard easier? When Randy can come around walking his dog and he stops and talks to you. I got a lot of encouraging words out of Randy. That's fellowship. That's love. And when Randy's down, I have encouraging words for Randy. We support each other. We love on each other. Sometimes we say now. But that's part of the relationship, isn't it? Holding each other accountable, building each other up. And what if we weren't 60 individuals trying to do this? What if we were 60 individuals together doing this? And that's where all these other things come from. That's where all these other things that we need to be doing come from. That's all what we're talking about, growing and talking about. That's why Sunday school is important. Bible studies are important. Starting these love feasts, having societies, having all these different things. These are the things that make us grow, both individually and as a church. And then Paul writes this so nicely. He says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, through hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Kind of sounds like a worship service, doesn't it? A church working together, teaching each other, growing together, and growing in Christian perfection. We do this through God's word and through worship. We do it through music because God's word is powerful. And when you take God's word and you put it together with music, it makes it even more powerful. And when we get together and we regularly devote ourselves to this method and we pray together and we worship together and we sing together, then we become closer and we become stronger. Now, this is going to be weird for you. And so if you haven't been following along, if you've been nodding off, I want you to wake up, come back to earth, and I want you to turn your focus to the screen because we're going to read this passage together. Are you with me? Everybody awake? Look at your neighbor. Give them an elbow. All right, let's read this together. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort comes from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to read it to you again because I really want this to sink in. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. Have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate super glue. Could you imagine if we all had the same mindset of Jesus? Do you see how powerful that would be? When Jesus saw people, His heart yearned and burned when He saw them hurting. When He saw them sick, when He saw them possessed with demons, when He saw them poor and downtrodden, it burned on Jesus to do something. He wanted to heal them. He wanted to bring them to the Father. He wanted to bring them redemption and grace and love. And when you look around and you think about the tragedy in Dayton, when you think about the tragedy in Texas, what if one person had loved that gunman? What if one person had brought that person to Jesus Christ? Would that have made a difference in this world? Look how divided we are. Divided over politics, divided over health care, divided over gun control, divided, divided, divided. And I don't care how many laws you make, it's not going to stop it. Because it doesn't matter if they do it with a gun, if they do it with a bus, if they do it with a van, or do it with a knife. They are people who are hurting and people who need transformation by Jesus Christ. Is it something you can do by yourself? Just a little. Each of us can impact the world a little bit. But you know what happens when we together as a church do stuff? What we can impact is multiplied. And what if we were the ones who were the ones who reached out to that lonely person? What if we reached out to that person that had mental illness? What if we reached out to the people who were distraught and lost? That's the kind of church we need to be. We need to have so much love that we just grab people and love them and love them and give them Jesus Christ and transform their lives. That's how we fix a broken world. That's the kind of people we need. We need to have that mindset of Jesus Christ. We have the greatest gift ever given. We have a God who loves us, a God who wants us redeemed. God created us to have a choice. God created us for relationships. But what breaks relationships? Sin. Sin breaks our relationships. But God wanted to restore that relationship with us. And God gave a covenant to Abraham. He gave the law to Moses. But even the laws of God given to Moses did not change people's hearts. It only gave them rules to live by. And He said, I'm going to give you something greater. I am going to give you my son, Jesus Christ, who's going to come and surpass the law. He's going to become the lamb. He's going to become the sacrifice. He's going to be the means by which you can be forgiven and redeemed and restored into relationship. Restored into relationship. It's powerful. If you've ever lost a good relationship and it's ever been broken, it hurts. But it feels good when it's brought back together. And through Jesus Christ, we can be brought back to God. And when we come back together in God, and we come back together with each other, we become the body of Christ. Our love for God and our love for each other becomes a glue that creates relationships that are beyond breaking. Relationships that are beyond superficial love. It's beyond the smile and the wave, how you doing? It means I'll come over and clean your gutters. It means I'll come over and take care of you when you're sick. It means I'm going to pull money out of my pocket when you're in need. It means I'll move you into my house if I got to. It means you're not my biological mother, but because of the Bible, you are my mother. You are my father. You are my brother. You are my sister. And together, we are family. A whole different kind of family. And through thick and through thin, we are together and we are strong. And when one of us hurts, we all hurt. And when one of us rejoices, we all rejoice. And where my gifts are lacking, your gifts are strong. And where somebody does something great, somebody balances with something else. And it all comes together. And that's what we need to do as a church. We need to come together and become great and powerful through the Holy Spirit. And it's not about building numbers and building bigger churches and putting on additions. We're talking about reaching people and transforming lives. The district cares about what our membership numbers are. The district cares about certain things. What I care about are lives being transformed. Your life being transformed. Coming together with somebody else's life that's transformed, and together you go out and transform other people's lives. We're all given different gifts and different roles, and together we are great. And Jesus took 11 uneducated men and changed the world. And on the night that he shared that last meal with his disciples, the night that he would be betrayed by the 12th Judas, he sat down with his disciples and shared a meal. He said, "Take this bread. This is my body given for you." And he took the cup. And he says, "This represents the blood of the new covenant. This is a new covenant that provides redemption, forgiveness, and transformation. This is a gift from God, his love to you." This is a gift that we share together. This is a gift that when we take it in the Spirit, this is a gift when we come together and we share in this meal. It unites us. It binds us together. This is the great equalizer. This puts us all on the same playing field. as redeemed children of God. And if you read our church liturgy, we pray, and I'll pray here in a moment, that as we take these elements, that they become for us the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, so that we may become the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. You get that? We come together as one people redeemed by his blood. And for you, this can be a powerful moment of spiritual transformation. But it will only become that if you let it. It will only become that if you open your heart to the Holy Spirit and you say yes to God. And you say, God, I'm not doing it on my own anymore. I have sinned. I need you. Come into my life and transform me. Give me Christ's mindset. Give me Christ's love. Give me the desire to love other people and to make a difference in this world. And when you come in full surrender and you take these elements, you might just feel the power of the Holy Spirit come upon you. And maybe you're already there. Maybe these moments have already occurred for you. This is a moment to renew that, to remember that, to recommit yourself to that. To say, I am part of this body. We are united through the body and the blood of Jesus Christ that was given to us 2,000 years ago. And so as we prepare to take these elements, I dare you to allow the Holy Spirit to move upon you today. I can't force it upon you. I'm not a wizard. I can't. I wish I could. But I can open the door. And I can tell you how to receive it. But you have to receive it. And the question is, will you receive it today? So let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come to you. And Lord, I ask that your mighty Holy Spirit move and work among the people here. Lord, I know that there are some hearts that are hardened that will say no today. There are some that this will just be the beginning of their journey, where they'll feel you tugging and they may be at the beginning of putting these pieces together. And for others, this could be a true day of transformation, a true day of commitment to you, Lord. Lord, as we come together to take these elements, we know that we have been less than we have been called to be. We know that from a day-to-day basis that we do things we ought not to do. And not only are we doing things we shouldn't do, there are things we should have done that we have not done. Lord, we come to you now in silent confession, and we offer to you our sins. Lord, our sins are great and mighty, but your power to forgive is greater than anything that we have done. Lord, we lay these sins at your feet, each of us guilty, each of us in need of your forgiveness. Lord, we humbly ask that you take these sins and remove them from us. Wash us clean. And make us worthy to come to your presence. In God's holy word, it says that he is faithful to forgive all those who confess their sins. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Lord, we ask your hand of blessing on this very moment. Lord, as we come together as your people and share in this meal, we ask that it becomes more than just a moment of tradition. Lord, we ask that it becomes more than just words and noise, that it truly becomes for us a moment of grace, a moment of redemption, and a moment of transformation. Lord, we ask your hand of blessing on these elements. May they become more than just bread and juice. May they truly become the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, so that we too may become the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Lord, move your spirit among these people. Allow them to receive these elements as you have indicated us to do in remembrance of Jesus Christ. Let us be of one mind, one body, one faith, and one baptism. Amen.